Welcome to Truth for Today, The Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to rightly divide the word of truth in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today, we continue our talks on growing old with Ian Britton speaking about how to serve God in restricted circumstances.
Today we continue our series entitled Growing Old with a talk called How to Serve God in Restricted Circumstances. All Bible quotations are from the New King James Version unless otherwise stated. As I record this, I'm just a few days away from fully retiring from work. I'm a couple of years off 60 yet, so I'm retiring early, but I can certainly no longer claim to be a young man. That has at least two implications for today's topic. One, I'm getting old, possibly there already by some measures, and two, I can vouch for the fact that this is not all bad. I've been semi-retired for 12 months, and I'm relishing taking the final step. Growing old has its upsides. Let's be honest though, nobody relishes growing old. Since I started work 39 years ago, I've got slower, greyer, lost hair, become less agile, and ache in a few more places. On the plus side, I've acquired a wife, two children, a great deal of experience, a little wisdom, and heaps of happy memories. I would not let any of them go to become young again. The simple truth is that things change, and we change. Some of that change is good, and some of it is bad. Only God never changes, since he can become neither better nor worse. Today we are focusing on restricted circumstances. A phrase which has negative overtones. Who would choose to be restricted if they could be completely free? In fact, many of us do choose to do exactly that. I guess I chose to give up certain freedoms when I became a married man, but there are joys and contentment that only marriage can provide. I've restricted myself for my entire life to living within 15 miles or so of where I was born. I'm sure I've passed up many opportunities and experiences by doing so, but I'm perfectly content with the choices I've made. And while living a globe-trotting life may suit some, certain things must be sacrificed to allow it. You might say that choosing to follow Christ is to accept enormous restrictions. I don't mean that we have a giant series of do's and don'ts to follow, but that we commit ourselves, in theory at least, to allowing him to lead and direct us, and to choosing his will before our own. In short, we commit ourselves to being restricted to whatever he chooses for us, believing, of course, that he will choose what is wisest and best. Things feel more restrictive when we're not doing the choosing ourselves and the limits are being imposed on us. That's why the restricted circumstances of old age are so intimidating. We don't get to make the selection, and we worry that we will hate the limitations imposed on us. We will use five questions or pairs of alternatives to help us work through the challenges which our topic presents. They are 1. Perishing or renewing, 2. Fighting or embracing, 3. Looking back or looking forward, 4. Fear or anticipation, and 5. Struggling or submitting. 1. Perishing or renewing. If this phrase is familiar, it's because I've borrowed it from 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, which says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." The outward man in this verse is the human body. Our bodies wear out. Paul, who wrote these words, was wearing his body out faster than most with the punishing missionary journeys he undertook. The inward man is the soul or spiritual life. Can you claim that your inward man is being renewed day by day? Certainly that is meant to be the experience of Christians. The perishing outward man finds things increasingly reduced. The following list is, regrettably, far from exhaustive. Reduced physical energy. When people talk about old age, they sometimes quote the following text from Joshua chapter 14. In these verses, Caleb is describing what has happened to him since he was sent by Moses at the age of 40 to be one of the 12 spies searching out Canaan for the Israelites. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Now therefore, give me this mountain." We would all like to be like Caleb, with as much energy as 85 as we had when we were 40, and the enthusiasm to capture cities in the mountains. Unfortunately for us, Caleb is an exception. What we can aspire to is the vision and passion to still be exploring new ground and making it our own. Physical energy and spiritual energy don't have to follow the same trajectory. Reduced physical mobility. It's likely that John outran Peter in getting to Jesus' tomb after the resurrection, simply because John was quite a few years younger. Our running tends to get slower. Then we're reduced to walking. Then we need a stick, or worse. Not much to look forward to, is it? But physical prowess is not everything. I'm writing and recording this in the lead-up to Christmas, and two of the important characters in the Christmas story were in the later stages of their lives. We meet Anna and Simeon in Luke chapter 2. Anna was of a great age, and for reasons unknown, was restricted to living within the confines of the temple. But she served God night and day, and spoke about Jesus to everybody who was looking for the coming Messiah. Simeon seems to have been coming towards the end of his life, but he has enough strength to lift the baby Jesus in his arms, and his words of thanksgiving are on record forever. Reduced sphere of service. I've known Christians who've served the Lord faithfully and effectively for decades start to become depressed and dispirited when they're no longer able to continue with the service they've given their lives to. It's not my place to criticise them, but I do need to ask myself whether I'm defining myself and my spiritual life by my service. It is possible to subtly drift from loving the Lord and being thankful to be able to do something for him, to investing all my self-worth in what I do, and even feeling that he's let me down if he takes that service away. Reduced hearing, sight and other senses. There was an old man called Barzillai, who assisted King David when he was running away from his rebel son Absalom. When the rebellion had been crushed, David wanted to take Barzillai back to Jerusalem, to the royal palace, by way of reward. The account is in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Barzillai responds, "I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city. Here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king." First, notice that Barzillai was 5 years younger than Caleb, but considerably more restricted. God gives each of his servants different experiences. Barzillai isn't so much lamenting the reduction in his five senses as explaining why the king's proposed rewards aren't of much value to him. He would rather be quietly at home in his own house. He asks David to transfer the offered benefits to a younger man named Chimham instead. I get no sense of Barzillai being cynical or bitter. He just had a different set of priorities than a younger man has. Reduced control over my own body. I must confess, I find this to be one of the scarier prospects of old age. Later in his life, you can find the record at the start of 1 Kings, King David is no longer well enough to maintain his own body temperature. You might have thought the poor old man was past it and no further use to anybody. But soon afterwards, we find David helping to establish the glorious reign of his son Solomon, and giving Solomon a list of tasks to complete on David's behalf. Pretty important achievements for a man well past his prime. That's enough of things reducing for now. Let's turn to the things of the inward man that can be steadily increased even in old age. Increased experience. At one level, experience is just what you live through, the events that happen in your life. But in the spiritual realm, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, King James Version. The New King James Version uses the word character rather than experience. It takes time, tribulation, and patience or perseverance to produce the spiritual character that can also be called experience. It isn't bought cheaply or quickly, but it is worth acquiring. Increased wisdom. Wisdom also takes time to obtain, although some never seem to acquire it, no matter how much time they have. King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, was given wise advice from the elders his father left behind. He chose to reject it, and instead follow the foolish suggestions of the young men who grew up with him. You can read all about it in 1 Kings chapter 12. Not all the young are foolish, and not all the old are wise, but every extra year gives you more opportunities to grow in wisdom. Just don't expect your wise counsel to be always well received or followed. Increased time. The restrictions of older age can release more time. Retirement, having few other responsibilities, and a reduction in travel, etc., means we can have time for those who tend to be neglected by the uber-busy. I'm not a granddad yet, but I can see this is one of the roles grandparents often play for their grandchildren. When we are very active, our time and focus tend to be spread out, so that we do more things and see more people, but sometimes only superficially. Doing less and seeing fewer people can be a good thing if we spend more time on the activities and relationships that matter most. Increased horizons. Naturally, our horizons reduce as we age, as we've already noted, but this doesn't need to be the case in every way. According to Exodus chapter 7, verse 7, Moses was just starting out on his life's work at 80. I'm not suggesting we should all start leading a nation of 2 million people in our old age, but we can find ways to keep widening our horizons. The COVID pandemic of the last couple of years has been tough and restrictive in many ways, but it's also shown us how technologies like Zoom can widen our horizons. Some of us have been able to listen in to missionary updates from around the world, from our own homes. Activities like this should also broaden and deepen our prayer lives as we support these people and those they minister to before God. God's work has always needed prayer warriors to support his frontline troops. And the front line includes new parents, young children, struggling couples, and many others as well as missionaries. Are you ready to grow your prayer life as you grow older? Increased readiness to work with and rely on others. Some of us struggle with accepting our dependence on other people. The account of a battle between Israel and the people of Amalek in Exodus 17 is instructive. Israel prevailed while Moses kept his arms lifted up, but they struggled when he grew tired and his arms fell to his side. Realizing what was happening and the importance of the battle, Aaron and Hur sat Moses down on a stone, and each of them stood on one side of Moses and held his arms up. Imagine if Moses had refused the indignity of sitting on a rock all day, or insisted that he was quite capable of holding his own arms up. It takes grace to accept help and acknowledge dependence. One more reason to pray for more grace as we age. 2. Fighting or embracing change. Often in our life, our attitude is as important as our actual circumstances. As we get older, some things are going to change, however much we fight against it. Jacob is the great biblical example of a man fighting to do things and get things on his own terms and in his own time. It took him a lifetime to start learning to trust God and hand over control to him. Jonah is another clear example of someone at war with God over his plans and instructions, and like Jacob, it cost Jonah a great deal of grief. Whatever our age, we need to learn to embrace all the different phases of life. We too often rush on towards the next phase, or try and cling on to the previous one, instead of accepting the place God has put us right now, and asking Him for the strength and grace to enjoy walking with Him in it, even if it does sometimes involve reduced circumstances. 3. Looking back or looking forward. If you drive a car, you will know that things go much better if you spend most of your time looking forward at the road ahead. A regular glance in the rearview mirror is essential, but driving for any length of time while gazing intently in the mirrors is not going to end well. Some of us struggle to apply that lesson to our everyday lives. We tend to look back for one of two reasons. One, the past seems to have contained more happy days than the present does, so we're tempted to try and live there. Or, two, our past is full of missed opportunities that will never come back, and we can't keep from brooding over them. The people of Israel spent a lot of the 40 years they wandered through the desert, looking back longingly to the things they'd left behind in Egypt. They neither got into the promised land nor got back to Egypt, so they're not a great example to follow. More positively, Hebrews 11 says of those who died in faith, "Truly, if they'd called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country." Both the thief on the cross, see Luke 23, and King Manasseh at the end of his wicked life, see 2 Chronicles 33, can teach us a lesson about looking back in sadness or frustration. Both had lived lives that were at best wasted. Manasseh was the most wicked king Judah ever had, so his life was not just wasted, he was full of terrible crimes and all kinds of evil. But we don't read anything about either of them focusing on the rearview mirror. The thief had only a short time left, and the Lord Jesus focused him on the future in heaven. Manasseh spent his last few years acknowledging God and putting right a few of the things he'd destroyed in the nation he ruled over. Let's be prepared to learn from mistakes in our past and take strength from happy memories of the Lord's blessings. But let's focus most of our attention on the future and the present, whatever the present feels like. 4. Fear or anticipation. When you are contemplating old age, is it with fear or with anticipation? It might be fear of loss of self-esteem and importance. If our area of service or the prominence of that service is reduced, we might find ourselves like Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, discouraged and depressed. He'd won a great victory at Mount Carmel, but now he was being persecuted and seems to have grown tired of having to stand alone so often. He tells God, quite frankly, that he's had enough and he's ready to go to heaven. But although Elijah might think his work is over, God hasn't finished with him yet. In fact, Elijah still has much to accomplish for God, including handing over to the next generation in Elisha. But that was the topic for last week's talk. A big part of Elijah's problem was that he'd started to focus on himself, his weariness, his persecution, his loneliness. They were all real problems, but they temporarily made Elijah lose focus on the God who was much bigger than Elijah, Elijah's problems, King Ahab, Jezebel, or anything else for that matter. God's work and God's power are never reduced, whatever our circumstances might be. Fear of being irrelevant. Perhaps we are just afraid that as old age reduces what we can do, we will simply become irrelevant. The question should be, irrelevant to whom? Both Mark and Luke give us the story of a widow who put two very low-value coins into the temple collection. Jesus tells his disciples that this widow has given more than anybody else, even the wealthy who've thrown in large amounts. As far as we know, the widow didn't hear what Jesus said and just went quietly on her way. Was what she did irrelevant because it would make almost no difference to the total collected for the temple, and since nobody else noticed. No, it wasn't. The Lord noticed and approved. You couldn't get much more reduced in circumstances in those days than a widow woman with almost no money. Yet her service was very relevant indeed to Jesus and highly valued by him. Perhaps the Lord Jesus himself is the best example, although in his earlier rather than later life. For the majority of his life, Jesus lived unseen at home or working as a carpenter or builder in a quiet village miles from anywhere of any significance. Can we object to living a life as obscure as the Master himself? Fear of physical decay. This might take the form of illness, disability, or death. All those three are pretty scary to me. They would certainly restrict my ability to serve. But I'm not so much thinking about the things themselves here as the fear of them. Fear itself is debilitating. Fear not is an expression we find in many places in our Bibles, including on the lips of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 tells us, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And 1 John 4:18 assures us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perhaps God might allow disease or disability into our lives in the future. If he does, he will then give us all we need to serve him in those circumstances. Let's not allow fear and doubt to rob us of the strength to serve him in the circumstances we actually have today. Anticipation is much more productive than fear. Some of the things we can anticipate are anticipate new opportunities. Apparently it was Alexander Graham Bell, famous for inventing the telephone, who said, when one door closes, another opens. But the sentiment is a biblical one. Paul, who knew quite a bit about God opening some doors and closing others, tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul didn't just see new opportunities in the restrictions placed on him. He took pleasure in them. I confess, I haven't reached that level of Christian maturity yet. To Paul it was obvious. If God is pleased to show his strength most through my weakness, then I will happily accept getting weaker. Put Paul in a prison cell, and he preached to prisoners and the jailer. Put him under long-term house arrest, and he wrote letters that form the largest part of the New Testament today. Stop him visiting Christians, and he prayed for them daily, and sent other believers to teach and encourage them. There really was no way of keeping that man down. What about you and me? Anticipate new relationships and new fields of service. Johnny Erickson Tada didn't experience restricted circumstances from old age. She became a quadriplegic at the age of 17 due to a swimming accident. There is no way she would have ever chosen to accept those limitations. But it has given her worldwide opportunities for witness and service. We are unlikely to gain Johnny's levels of international recognition. But God might just allow some restrictions in our lives that we would never choose, so that we can relate to others with similar difficulties, or strike up a relationship with someone that we would not otherwise have come across. 5. Struggling or submitting. Finally, we need to consider who is the master and chief chooser in our life. Is it to be me or Christ? That brings us back to Jacob and his lifelong struggle to submit to God. The writer of Hebrews, having the whole of Jacob's long life to choose from for examples of faith, decided to home in on Jacob's final few hours. In Hebrews 11, verse 21, we read, By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. In Genesis chapters 48 and 49, we discover that Jacob was in bed, evidently bedridden, when this occurred. At the end of these events, Jacob drew his feet up into the bed and died. So, at the very end of his life, like so many others down the years, this man of God, who struggled with Laban, Esau, even God himself, and travelled many hundreds of miles, often sleeping out under the stars, has become confined to a bed in just one room. But Jacob isn't bitter and frustrated. He's finally submitting to God and finding the rest that this brings. He speaks about events for his family for many years to come, with even some hints of the coming Messiah. Finally, according to Hebrews, Jacob worships. Being allowed to serve God in any capacity and in any circumstances should be counted as a privilege. Being allowed to worship him is an even greater one. So, as we all grow older, let us aspire to the renewing of our inward man, to embracing change, looking forward with anticipation, submitting to the Lordship of Christ, and worshipping the Father and the Son. Lord Jesus, although you never lived into old age in this world, you promised to walk alongside us while we do. We confess that there are many things about this journey that we find distasteful and distressing. We would not want to walk that way by ourselves, but any journey is possible, even pleasurable, when you offer to go with us. We remember how John the Baptist said, "You must increase, but I must decrease." Then he struggled when the decreasing actually happened and he was locked in prison. Please send us the grace, not just to survive our own prisons, but to serve you from there and to learn to enjoy your company with us all the way through. Amen. Thank you for listening to this Truth for Today talk on growing old, how to serve God in restricted circumstances, talk number T1241.